So today we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 17, text 51 on the board. Translation: a sinful person, envious of pure devotees, shall not deliver you. Rather, I shall have you bitten by these germs for many millions of years. Now what I'll do is, before reading the purport, I'll read the purport from yesterday's verse, because we didn't read it. I'll give you the translation. As an incarnation of God, you are delivering so many fallen souls. I am also a greatly unhappy fallen soul. Kindly deliver me by your mercy. Purport: it appears that although Gopal Chapala was sinful, talkative, and insulting, he nevertheless had the qualification of simplicity. Thus he believed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had come to deliver all fallen souls, and he appealed for his own deliverance, seeking the mercy of the Lord. He did not know, however, that the deliverance of the fallen does not consist of curing their bodily diseases, although it is also a fact that when a man is delivered from the material clutches, his material bodily diseases are automatically cured. Gopal Chapal simply wanted to be delivered from the bodily sufferings of leprosy, but Sri Chaitanya, although accepting his sincere appeal, wanted to inform him of the real cause of suffering. So that was verse 49. Text 50. Hearing this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared greatly angry, and in that angry mood, he spoke some words chastising him. In today's verse on the board: O sinful person, envious of pure devotees, I shall not deliver you. Rather, I shall have you bitten by these germs for many millions of years. Purport: we should note herein that all our sufferings in this material world, especially from disease, are due to our past sinful activities. And of all sinful activities, actions directed against a pure devotee out of sheer envy are considered extremely severe. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted Gopal Chapal to understand the cause of his suffering. Any person who disturbs a pure devotee engaged in broadcasting the holy name of the Lord is certainly punished like Gopal Chapal. This is the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As we shall see, one who offends a pure devotee can never satisfy Chaitanya Mahaprabhu unless and until he sincerely regrets his offense and thus rectifies it. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Asindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in case you were wondering, Shruti Dharma Prabhu was originally going to give the class, but he had some other engagement. So I was asked to do that a few days ago. So I'll speak something about the verse and also speak something on the appearance day of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. It's a great day today. And that'll take us, well, I'll probably stop maybe 8:45. Hopefully there'll be comments and questions, and then we'll do Pushpanjali fasting today. But if you're around at 12 o'clock, there'll be a feast. Hare Krishna. So feel very unqualified. Please give me your blessings. Some senior devotees present, ask for your blessings. We also have Rupa Vilas Prabhu here, who's written the Ray of Vishnu. It's a biography of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. So it's an honor that he's present. Hopefully he can add some comments, and he's free to correct me at any time if he so desires. So it's one of those hell, fire, and brimstone verses today. The dangers of Vaishnava Parad. So throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita there are stories of devotees and non-devotees who offend. Of course, if you're a real devotee, you don't offend. So there are better to say non-devotees, people who are maybe aspiring devotees and they offend other devotees. There are so many stories throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We can maybe consider some of them. There is the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. What was his offense? Anyone remember? He neglected Lord Nityananda. There was a very advanced devotee of Lord Nityananda, Minaketana Ramdas. He was invited to the house of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And there was a pujari in the house. He did not have faith in Lord Nityananda, so he didn't respect him. And Minaketana Ramdas, he criticized him. And at that time, the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he took the side of this pujari, Gunarava Mishra. And then after the event, you know, Minaketana Ramdas, he was very angry. He broke his flute and he left the assembly. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami got into an argument with his brother. So he chastised his brother. And he said, Dui Bai Eka Tanu Samana Prakash. Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, they are one body. Samana Prakash. Two brothers, Eka Tanu, one body. So if you have faith in one and not the other, it's Ardha Kukuta Nyaya. It is half-end logic. Because of that offense, the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he fell down. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami himself, he was rewarded because he stuck up for Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda came to him in a dream, told him to go to Vrindavan. You know, it said, Heno Nitai Bini Bai, Radha Krishna Paitinai. You cannot attain Radha Krishna without the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So just by sticking up for Lord Nityananda, he was rewarded. And that is our duty, because we have this Trinada peace in Ichina, we're supposed to be tolerant. But when it comes to Vaishnava Parad, we should not be tolerant. The opposite applies. We should actually defend the Vaishnav. This is our duty. And this is explained in Nectar of Devotion. In fact, there's a verse in the 10th canto, Nindam Bhagavatah Srinvans Tat Parasya Janasyava Tato Na Paiti Yasopi Yachada Sukritach Chudaha. If one hears blasphemy of the Lord or his devotee, and one does not leave that place, then one will fall down. This was in connection with the incident of Shishupal blaspheming Krishna. You must leave the place or you will fall down. Now in Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada gives three things you can do. You can, one, defeat the person. Second, give up your life. And if you can't do either of those two, you should leave the place. Now here's an interesting question. I don't know the answer, but we find some of the statements in Prabhupada's books that we know by common sense not to follow. We know not to give up our life. Actually, if you're a Brahmin, you shouldn't give up your life. There's a verse, there's a purport in the fourth canto. It's in connection with Sati giving up her body when she hears Daksha blaspheming Lord Shiva. And the verse explains that if you're able to, you should cut out the tongue of the blasphemer, kill the blasphemer, and then you kill yourself. That's what the verse states. Now the purport explains, that's what you do if you're a Kshatriya. Because Kshatriyas are able to. If you're a Brahmin, you cannot kill yourself because that would be killing a Brahmin. And also Brahmins, their varna, you know, their occupational duty is not violence, so they don't kill people who blaspheme. What if you're a Vaishya or a Shudra? Well, it's mentioned because, well, you're not a Brahmin, so you don't have to worry about killing yourself. It's okay to do so. So therefore, if you're a Vaishya or a Shudra, you're meant to kill yourself. So, I mean, if someone read that and just to say, well, that's the words of Prabhupada and we'll take that as the what we should do, then what would happen? So we apply common sense. But here's a little puzzle for you, and you can tell me if you have any answers. Where in Prabhupada's teachings does he say not to follow certain things in his purports? Now, of course, as I said, as Brahmins, we wouldn't do it anyway. But what about Vaishya or Shudra? Should a Vaishya or Shudra give up their body? You know. Now, we have the pastime of Lord Nityananda being hit by Jagan Madai, another story of Vaishnava Parad. Lord Chaitanya was going to use the Sudarshan Chakra, and Lord Nityananda said, you know, if you kill them, you're going to have to kill everyone in Kali Yuga. It's such a disturbing age. Manda Sumanda Matayor, Manda Bhagya Hupadruta. Therefore, by common sense, there's so much blasphemy going on, it's impractical to take strong measures. But actually, in even the today's world, we see there's a tension between Western culture and Islam. Islam has very strict rules, and there's some strict punishments for blasphemy. And we see it's another story. There's this tension there. But anyway, I'll let you think about it, how you reconcile Prabhupada's statements. But notice how one extra point. Sati, in her humility, she saw herself as Vaishya Shudra. She's a woman. She saw herself as, I'm not high Brahmin, so therefore she decided the proper thing to do was to give up her body. And that's why she did so. So we see there's different injunctions in different parts of the scriptures. As I mentioned, the nectar of devotion, there's no injunction to kill the person. You just defeat the person or give up your life or you walk away. So you must walk away. So that's what we should do, or better still, defeat the person. In fact, Prabhupada, he gives a hierarchy. He said, if you can't do one of the first two, then you should walk away. So if we took that literally, we would decide, well, better to give up my life if I can't defeat the person. You know, if you're not a Brahmin. Anyway, these are some of the things I think about. I mean, if you wonder what I do in my spare time, I try and work out how to get around some of the instructions in Srila Prabhupada's books if you're challenged. You know, if someone says, well, common sense is trumped by Srila Prabhupada's actual statements, so you have to follow Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, going back to different instances of aparad, here's one. We have the Ramachandra Puri. So now, in today's example, Gopal Chapala, his result of his aparad was leprosy. In the case of Ramachandra Puri, the result of his aparad was he became a fault finder by mentality. He was already a fault finder, became even more so. So what was his offense? Anyone remember? Ramachandra Puri. He's a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Yes, he disturbed Madhavendra Puri at the time of death. So there's a famous verse. I know that I was reading back to Siddhanta Vaibhav yesterday, and it turns out that the verse that I'm about to quote is one of the favorite verses quoted by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. And he called it a mula mantra, which means if you want to develop the prema coming in the line of Madhavendra Puri, then this mantra is very helpful if you're qualified. Ae dina dayadra natahe matura nata kadavalokyase hridayam tvadaloka kataram doyita bramyati kim karom yaham. Now this is the mood of Radharani, who refers to Krishna as Mathura Nath. It's at the time when Krishna's left Vrindavan, gone to Mathura. She's in the pangs of separation. Madhavendra Puri, he brought that mood to our Sampradaya. So he's crying out, O Mathura Nath, O Lord, you know, I am feeling so much separation from not being able to see you. When will I see you again? My mind is disturbed. What shall I do? It's a rough translation of the verse. A very deep verse. So Ramachandra Puri, in his foolishness, he saw this as material distress. You know, Brahma Buddha Prasanatma na Sochati na Kankshati. You come to the Brahma Buddha platform and stop lamenting, my dear spiritual master. So he banished him. You know, this fool, he's teaching me to meditate on the Supreme Brahman, and I'm feeling this separation from Krishna. So due to that offense, he became a fault finder. And one time he would deliberately feed the Vaishnavas extra, and they wouldn't want, but he would feed them extra. Then he'd criticize them for eating too much. So what was his destination? I don't know if he was delivered. I mean, Mahaprabhu came to deliver everyone. I don't know of any story where he was delivered. Another example is Gopal Chakravarti. Now, he blasphemed Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur said, just by the reflection of the holy name, the Nama Bas, you can be liberated. And he couldn't accept this. So he said, I will cut off your nose if this isn't true. And Haridas Thakur said, I'll cut off my own nose if it's not true. So this Gopal Chakravarti, he disturbed the assembly. And he, like Gopal Chapala, he developed leprosy and his nose fell off. He had very good features and then his nose fell off. I also don't know of any deliverance of him. Some were delivered, some weren't. Same with the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. I don't hear of him being delivered. But here's an example of a devotee that was delivered, Amoga. You know the pastime Amoga? He got cholera. he criticized Mahaprabhu for eating too much. So he was a son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So when he criticized Mahaprabhu, the wife of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, she like basically cursed him and said, "Let my daughter Shati become a widow." In other words, let Amoga die. Very heavy. So Amoga got cholera as a result of his offense. But in this instance, Mahaprabhu was very merciful. He came to Amoga and he put his hand on his chest. And he said, "Why did you allow the chandala of jealousy to reside in your pure heart?" And just by his touch and his words, this Amoga, he developed ecstatic love of Godhead. And he apologized. And then what he did, he started slapping his face. My mouth has offended the Lord. And he started beating his face so much that his cheeks started swelling up. And then Gopinath Acharya grabbed him and stopped him. But it was very interesting when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard about this. He said, "Why did you deliver him? It would have been better if you let him die." Because he was so upset that of the offense. Mahaprabhu said, "He's your son. You know, father tolerates the insults of the son." So these are some of my thoughts on Vaishnava Aparad. There's another instance, and I presume it was called Aparad, and it's coming up in this chapter. There was a Brahmin who was not allowed access into the kirtan in the house of Shriva Sangan. And so what he did was he cursed Mahaprabhu. He said, "May you never have material happiness." Now we've heard these curses before. Narad Muni and Daksha, right? Daksha cursed Narad Muni, "May you have no residence," because Narad Muni was preaching to the sons of Daksha to become brahmacharis, not procreate, which very much upset Daksha. So of course it's a blessing in disguise. So Narad Muni, he spends, you know, no more than a few days in any one place. He's always wandering. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. And there's a very interesting purport where Prabhupada says, "I have likewise been cursed by the parents of my disciples." So he had to move around the world because he was getting into trouble, because the parents of the disciples were angry that he had taken their children. And then he says further, he goes, "But I have a plan to transfer that curse to my disciples if they can take up my preaching work. Therefore, I can just live in one place and translate books." That's what he said. And he said, "Especially my sannyas followers, I want them to be preachers." So Prabhupada had these plans that he was going to retire, which never happened. He was always traveling. He never quite reached the point where he could just let his main leaders spread the mission and he could just stay in one spot. But that's the curse that he jokingly mentions in one purport. So now let us talk about back to Sananda Saraswati Thakur. So we'll try and say the mantras if I can remember them. Join in if you can. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutali Srimati Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamani Sri Barshabhanave Devi Dayataya Kripaptaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhur Yodshvala Premaja Shirupa Nuga Bhaktiga Shri Gaura Karunu Shakti Vigrahaya Namostati Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtayedi Natarini Rupa Nuga Varudapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harini. So of all our acharyas, there's only one with four pranam mantras. Prabhupada has two mantras, and the other acharyas, other than Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, there's one pranam mantra. Most interesting I find is nearly all of them have mantras about Gaura. It's Gauravani Murti in the case of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, or Gauravani Pracharini in the case of Srila Prabhupada. Gaura Shakti Swarupaya for Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti is another phrase for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So the Gaura line, you know, we're Vaishnavas, but we're all followers of Lord Chaitanya, and that's very prominent in the mantras. And also, Gauravir Bhava Bhumistham Nirdeshta, how Jagannath Das Babaji, he discovered he revealed the birthplace of Gauranga. Only Jagannath Das Babaji doesn't have a Gaura, but it's Vipralamba Rasambodhi. He's in the mood of Gaura, the mood of separation. So that's very prominent in the Pranati mantras of our acharyas. So let's consider some of what these mantras are saying. Barshavanavi Devi Doyata. Das is the initiated name of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, which means the beloved of Radharani, because Radharani is Barshabhanavi. Now in the book Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav by Bhaktivikaswami, he says that this indicates the eternal surup of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, Nayana Mani Manjari. She's a dear friend of Radharani. So Barshabhanavi Devi Doyata means the dear friend of the daughter of Brishabhanu, in other words, the dear friend of Radharani. So that's how the mantra begins. Kripabdaye, ocean of mercy. Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayini. That's very important. This is the purpose of the guru, is to give Krishna Sambandha Vijnana, to give this spiritual knowledge by which we can connect to the process of devotional service. Madhur Yajvala Premaja Shirupa Nuga Bhaktida. He's given bhakti, but not any bhakti, the bhakti in the line of Rupa Goswami, which is Madhur Yajvala Premaja, is saturated with this Madhurya Ras. They're very high topics. We can't enter into them, but these are the mantras that we've been given. And Namaste Gauravani Sri Murti. So Gauravani Sri Murti embodies the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And Rupa Nuga Varudapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harini means he would never tolerate any statements that oppose the teachings of Rupa Goswami, and he would destroy them, he would defeat them. Apasiddhanta means those teachings which are not common in the Sampradaya, which are Rupa Nuga Varuda Avaruda, they are against the teachings of Rupa Nuga philosophy. So these are very important points. And back to Sanda Sarasvati, I mean, he was known as the Singha Guru, the Lion Guru. And said of the Acharya, he's hard like the thunderbolt and soft like the rose. So he was definitely hard like the thunderbolt. There are many pastimes where he's soft as a rose as well. He used to like to feed the children in the holy dam. He's very soft. His heart was very soft. One time, some of his disciples asked him to speak on high topics. He started to speak and then he came into an ecstasy and he could no longer speak. His voice choked up. His disciples took that as a sign that they shouldn't really be inquiring about things beyond their adhikar. He was very soft at heart. But he was famous for being a debater, and he was very strict, and he would get into fights. And he would train his disciples this way as well. He said that even his newish disciples, they would instill fear in philosophical opponents. For example, some of the other spiritual groups, they would cross the road when they even saw a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. That's how well trained they were. And he encouraged this. In fact, he would criticize conciliators. He would call them Sandar Gobar, which means bull dung. Now we have a similar English phrase when someone talks rubbish. We say it's bull, right? I won't say the whole phrase. But anyway, he used the same similar phrase. It's bull dung. So he would cut away at nonsense talk and he would just criticize it. So he liked those that were bold. And many of his preachers were very bold. And there are some wonderful stories you can read of some of the trouble they got into, and they would be criticized. And back to Sanda Sarasvati, when he'd hear about it, he said, oh, he has done well, he has spoken the truth. And his philosophy was, we're not here to praise Janata, the people, we're here to praise Janardana. Better to please Krishna than to please the people. And so that was his philosophy. And in his education, he would often get into debates. One time, he had a Sanskrit teacher, and the teacher was teaching him Sandhi, which the rules of conjunction. He learned these rules in 3 days. It's actually a big topic. Siddhanta Saraswati dedicated 3 days to it, then he moved on. His teacher said, do not be so hasty. Even great Sanskritists, they spend their life studying Panini's grammar, and if you do so, you'll be liberated at the time of death. Sandhi is an ongoing study. At which point, back to Siddhanta Saraswati, he rejected him. He said, I reject you as my guru. I only study these things secondarily. My main mission is to serve Lord Hari. I don't care for liberation. I don't care for the rules of grammar. I'm only doing that as a service to Lord Hari. So he rejected his Sanskrit teacher. And he once got into a tussle with the principal of the college that he was at, which led him to leave the college. But he reasoned that this was a good idea. Anyone knows the story why? Why did he think it was good to be to have no respect in social circles? Because he didn't want to get married. He thought he'd be pressured into getting married if he was a respectable, educated person. So he dropped out. He's a college dropout. But he was so, erudite, so scholarly, that there was one, I think it was the chair of professor of astronomy at Calcutta University, he was offered that post. It was reserved for him if he wanted it, but he never took it. Because he was a great Jyotish, he was a great mathematician, he created his own shorthand language. I mean, he was just a genius. But as we know, in his mid-20s, he gave all that up, focused entirely on one thing, and that was spreading Lord Chaitanya's message. And we remember first thing he said to Srila Prabhupada when he saw him, Abai, coming in his 20s, he said to him, you're educated, you should spread Lord Chaitanya's message throughout the English-speaking world. Of course, at that time, Srila Prabhupada, he said, Indian is not independent, we have no status, first we need independence. He replied, that can wait, this mission is more important. And that was Prabhupada's initiation. He said it himself, accepting the disciplic conclusion, that was his initiation. That was in 1922. Just, I didn't mention it, back to Siddhanta Saraswati, he was born in 1874. 1922, that's when Srila Prabhupada accepted his guru. In 1933, he took formal initiation. But he says himself, my real initiation was accepting that conclusion. And he always kept that in his heart, that instruction. Now that instruction was to all Bhaktisiddhanta and the Saraswati Thakur's disciples. But Srila Prabhupada was the one that took it the deepest, and it was by his desire that it happened. I mean, we had the example of Bon Maharaj. He tried to spread Krishna consciousness in the West, and he had a modicum of success, very little. He was glorified when he came back. You'll even see a picture of Bon Maharaj there with his garland, and you see Abai in the side there. He was there because he was, involved. He was the Grihastha, but, he wasn't taking center stage. It was only later when ISKCON developed that Srila Prabhupada became the prominent of all the disciples. And later on, when he came back to India, he was actually criticized because he went straight to the Mayapur complex and he didn't stop at the Samadhi of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So some of the God brothers, they criticized, why is, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, why is he not stopping and offering his obeisances at the Samadhi of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati? To which Srila Prabhupada replied, I am always connected to my Guru Maharaj. You see, he doesn't need to go down and offer, he's always connected. He doesn't need to offer his obeisances at the Samadhi before going to the Mayapur complex. So Prabhupada had the deepest connection, we feel. That's why he was successful, where others were not as successful. Anyway, we were discussing the meeting of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Abai at the time, Abai Charadravinda. Now here's an interesting story. Before I mention the story, it's very important that we collect all the information we have. I mean, this movement is going on for 10,000 years. So there was, and still is to some extent, a window of opportunity to gather information about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Think about it, how many people actually had personal contact with him? I've only met in my life one person. I never spoke to him, but once I was on Navadvip Mandal Parikram, And there's one Gaura Gadadhar temple, and there's a Bajari there. I don't even know if he's still alive. That was 15 years ago. He was in his 90s. He had been given the service to worship the deity in this particular place when he was, I think he was in his 20s, and for decades, and I saw him when he was 90, for about 70-odd years, his service was to do the Pujari service at this temple. And he's a beautiful, soft gentleman, and the Parikram every year goes to this Gaura Gadadhar temple. He's the only disciple I ever saw of Bhaktisananda Saraswati. But if we consider it, the disciples, they have so many stories about him. The grand disciples would know, have stories as well. But then what happens next, you know? Well, I don't have any stories. So there's a wind of opportunity. Therefore, we have a debt of gratitude to devotees like Rupa Vilas Prabhu, Bhaktivikasa Swami, who have gathered information and produced those books. Because think about it. I mean, you can translate, say, for example, Jiva Goswami's Sandarbhas, you can translate them in 1,000 years' time, but you can't gather current historical information on charyas in 1,000 years' time. So it's like a window of opportunity, and it's been taken. So we have wonderful literature. We can avail ourselves of the teachings of Bhaktisananda Saraswati. And I find it very helpful in trying to understand the difference between principles and details. I just joined ISKCON. There's a way we do things in ISKCON. But then if you study how things were done in the Gaudiya Math, you can see how things were different. For example, the morning program was very different. The Gurvastika was the same, but then they would sing Guru Vandana by Devaki Nandana Das. They would sing Sri Guru Parampara, which is a bhajan written by Bhaktisananda Saraswati, which covers all the acharyas, all the main acharyas from Lord Brahma all the way down to Bhaktisananda Saraswati. So that was like their morning program, so to speak. You know, it's more important to attend the morning program than to be clean. So mat residents that didn't get up in time, maybe due to illness, they didn't have a bath, or this, they were late, they would still attend Mangal Arati, but they would be at the back. And then those that were clean and fresh, they'd be near the front. These are some of the, you know, these things, because some people think, I shouldn't attend Mangal Arati because I haven't had a shower. Well, you're supposed to be before the deities. Now, as far as, here's an interesting, on that connection about the deities, there's a chapter in Bhaktisananda Vaibhav. It's called Seer Unseen. And it's in Sanskrit, it's called Drig Drishya Vichar. And it's in a very important philosophy. And Prabhupada taught it as well. He gave it a different name. He would say, instead of trying to see Krishna, act in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. You've heard this before, right? It reminds me of the pastime of Narad Muni. He was sitting under a banyan tree and he had the darshan of the Lord. Then the Lord said to him, I will not reveal myself again to you in this life. And Prabhupada explains, Narad Muni then did Sankirtan. And Sankirtan is seeing the Lord. It's not like seeing the Lord, it is seeing the Lord. We see the Lord through our service. Sevon Mukhi Hijiva Dao Swayam Eva Spirachada. Another verse which is quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which was very often quoted by Bhaktisananda Saraswati, how the service attitude is how we see that revealed, the Lord is revealed. So I was mentioning Harad Muni. So he was seeing the Lord by his service to the Lord. So regarding seeing the deities, we shouldn't think, I am seeing the deity. We should think, the deity is seeing me. I am the seen. The word for seen is drishya. I am the object of vision of Krishna. Krishna is drashta, the seer. And then darshan is the process of seeing. So actually, we can see, you know, an atheist sees Archie Vishnu Shiladi, a lump of stone. But if Krishna blesses you with his glance, then you will then see him. So if you want to see Krishna, you have to act in such a way that Krishna sees you. And when Krishna casts his merciful glance upon you, then you won't see Shiladhi, you won't see a piece of stone, you'll see Satchidananda Vigraha, the deities. Now there's a verse from the Padma Purana, it's a long verse, and Bhaktisananda Saraswati would often quote this verse as well. And he described it as this verse gives the six symptoms of atheism. It's the one Archivishna Shiladi, Gurushunaramati, Vaishnavi Jati Buddhi, that's the first line. To see the Guru as an ordinary person, the deity as a piece of stone, the Vaishnav according to his birth. We don't judge people by their birth. We don't say Indian, Western, we don't say Brahmin, Shudra, we don't say, you know, Oxford degree, school dropout, whatever. We don't see these ways. It's Vaishnavi Jati Buddhi. We do not see according to birth. And if we do, Yashyava Naraki Saha, we're already a resident of hell. So these are three things. The Guru is an ordinary person. The Vaishnava according to his material condition. The deity is a piece of stone. Then it's Vishnorva Vaishnavanam Kalamala Matani Paratirtem Bubudhi. To see the water that has washed the feet of the deity or the Vaishnav to be ordinary water. It is not ordinary water, it's spiritually potent. And it will give you spiritual advancement if you take that water. So if you see that as ordinary water, you're an atheist, you're in hell already. Then Shri Vishnor Namni Mantri Sakale Kalushahi Shabda Samanya Buddhi. To think the sounds of the Lord's name to be ordinary sound, to not understand the spiritual potency of sound, spiritual sound, that you're a resident of hell. And the final one, Vishnau Sarveshvareshi Itara Samadhi Yashavanarakisaha. To see any other entity, like any demigod, to be equal to Vishnu. Samadhi. To see, like, you know what it says in the Bhagavad Gita, Kamas Tais Tayurita Jnana Prabhajante Naradama. No, Prabhajante, is that Naradama? Anyway, those that worship the deity, Kamas Tais Tayurita Jnana Prabhajantyanya Devata. To worship other demigods, you're an illusion. You're an illusion if you worship demigods thinking themselves to be equal to Vishnu. So these are the six symptoms of atheism, and that's the yardstick by which we measure our consciousness. So this is one of the teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So I was discussing this drigdrishyavachar. So if you think, I don't want to attend the temple, I don't want to see the deities, I'm not in the mood, you should understand it's not about what we want. You know, atma sukha dukhe gopira nahika vachar. The gopis are wonderful because they don't think about their own happiness and distress. Therefore, as sadhakas, we are the same. We don't think likes and dislikes. We just think in terms of service. So we should understand, Krishna wants to see me. So when you wake up in the morning, you don't want to get up early, have a shower, see the deities. You should think, Krishna wants to see me, so I'm doing it for Krishna, even if I don't want to. Because sometimes we're not so advanced. We maybe think, I'd rather, you know, watch a DVD than see the deities. But we should understand that actually, if we have the mood that we're doing it for their pleasure, then they will be pleased. And if they cast their vision on us, then we will get proper darshan of them. And once you've seen the real darshan of the deities, then you'll be addicted. Ma prekshis tas yadi. Was it that verse? Don't attend. Ma prekshis tas tavayadi saki bandhu sanghe stirangaha. If you are attached to your family, then don't go to Kejigat. Because if you see Krishna, then it's all over. You know, you won't be interested in going back to your family. This is what happens if you're merciful. If you get the merciful glance of the Lord, you'll be addicted. So let's return. That was Drigdrishya Vachar. It's actually a chapter in Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, and I find it very, very interesting. And as I mentioned, Narad Muni, he's an example of that. He was seeing the Lord through his service. Now on this point, Sevan Mukhi Jivadao, Swayameva Spiratjada, I mentioned this is one of the verses that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would often quote. And there's a nice, interesting pastime in connection with that. There was once a gardener, not very educated. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati asked him, what have you learnt about the science of Krishna? What have you learnt from Shastra? So this devotee, he said, well, I don't read the Shastras. I don't know how to read Sanskrit. But I've heard you speak. And he started explaining various truths that he had learnt from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. At which point he replied, "See this uneducated person, he knows more Siddhanta, knows more esoteric truth than so many pundits." Because he would speak to so many educated people. He was so educated himself that he was attractive. So educated people would often come to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He spoke to so many, but they couldn't grasp the truths. But this gardener, because he had a nice service attitude, even though he was illiterate, he grasped those truths. Reminds us of the pastime where Lord Chaitanya went to the South India, the Sri Rangam temple, and there was the Brahmin who was illiterate, and he was trying to read the Bhagavad Gita, and people were laughing at him. Mahaprabhu asked, "You know, why are you in ecstasy? Why are you crying?" He said, "Because when I pick up the book, I see Krishna Parthasarathi. He's riding the chariot. He's serving his devotee, and it brings tears to my eyes." Mahaprabhu said, "This man knows the meaning of Bhagavad Gita, even though he's illiterate. Shuddha Shuddha Gita Padi. He couldn't even recite it properly." Here's another story, similar one. There was once a doctor. He later on became a sannyas. Now, there weren't many sannyas disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, about 20 or 21 apparently. How many disciples did he have? Some estimates are 2,500. Maybe some estimates more than that. But there weren't that many initiated disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And there were only roughly about 20 or so sannyasi disciples. One of them, Bhagavat Maharaj. Before he became a sannyasi, he was a doctor. He was very impressed with the eloquence of Bon Maharaj. So he approached Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and asked him, "I would like you to direct me to one of your disciples so I can learn this wonderful truths. So I would like to be able to speak like they can speak, do this service." So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he said, "You go and speak to Ram Das Prabhu." So who's he? Well, he didn't know. He asked around. He found Ram Das Prabhu. He was the gardener. I'm not sure if it was the same gardener as the last previous story. Anyway, similar situation. He was illiterate. So this Bhagavan Maharaj, he was confused. And he went back to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. I found him, but he's not educated. You know, he doesn't know he can't teach me Sanskrit, he can't teach me scriptures. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati sent him back. "No, you ask him. Ask him what his realization is." So he went back, and then Ram Das Prabhu, he said, "Well, all I do is I try and grow fruit and flowers for the deities, and so they can be offered to the deities. And I feel very inspired, so I'm always chanting Hare Krishna. It dances, the holy name just is always coming from my tongue just by this service." So back to Siddhanta Saraswati, he said, "See, this is real education. Sevon Mukhi Hijiva Dao Swayameva Sparachada." Just by the service attitude, the Lord manifests. So he was teaching him a lesson that this is real education. Now there's a verse in the Mundaka Upanishad, which is also one of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's favorite verses. It's Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhya Namedaya Na Bahuna Shrutena Yam Eva Shivrinati Tena Labhyas Tashyasya Atma Vivrinuti Tanum Svam. That not by eloquence, not by good logic, not by lots of scripture all knowledge can you understand the Supreme. He's manifest to whomever he chooses. That is the ultimate standard. I had so much to say and we're almost out of time already. I'll speak for maybe another 5 minutes or so and then we can open it up for comments or questions. I'm getting one encouragement to carry on. Here's an interesting, I like this story very much. This goes back to the time. If you remember the chronology, there was a difficult period for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in 1914, 1915. His two main gurus left the planet, Gaurgashwaras Babaji Maharaj. Well, he left in 1915, and before that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So then, what was the burden of propagating Krishna consciousness was on, well, he was still Bimal Prasad, was Varshabhanavi Devi Doyata. He wasn't a sannyas at the time. But the preaching mission, the onus fell on his shoulders, and he was reflecting, you know, "I have no wealth, I have no influence." He said, "I have no learning." He's very humble. What to do? He was he was feeling this anxiety how to spread the mission. And at that moment, a piece of paper blew past him, and he picked it up. And on it, it was actually a leaf from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And on it was instruction of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatan Goswami, that you should construct temples, renovate the holy places, spread the devotional cult of Bhakti Yoga, and write books. So he took it as a sign from Krishna. And just a few days after that, he had a wonderful dream. And in that dream, the Panchatattva, the six Goswamis, and the recent Acharyas, they all appeared before him in a kirtan, and they said, "Don't worry, just wholeheartedly dedicate yourself, try and spread this mission, we will support you." And after that, all so much things happened. He took sannyas. This was actually after he did the Shata Koti Nam Yajna, famous yajna. He chanted 1 billion names. It took roughly a decade to do that. What's interesting, I didn't know this, he chanted on the same beads that Bhaktivinoda Thakur used when he did the same yajna. Because I find it quite amazing. He's famous, Bhaktivinoda Saraswati, he's famous for this 1 billion name yajna, but actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur did the same yajna. He's not so well known for doing it. So he chanted on the same beads. And he was so austere, you know, his guru, his Diksha Guru, Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj, he said, "Oh, the renunciation of Raghunath Das Goswami is manifesting in my Prabhu." He was very much impressed with the renunciation of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And so he used to like take a little pepper, you know, maybe boiled rice, but a pepper just to offset the nausea from fasting. So he was sitting in his little kutir, and as we know, he had a little umbrella because there was a hole and he didn't bother fixing it. So these are some of the wonderful austerity. And he observed Chaturmasya in such a strict way. At one point, Bhaktivinoda Thakur told him to stop your austerity because he was skin and bone. But anyway, he was so in control of himself, which is the prerequisite to being Goswami. Now, at the time he took sannyas, he did it in an unusual way. He took it from the picture of Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj. And it's interesting, he would often say, I was the only disciple. But actually, in the research of Bhakti Vikaswami, there were other disciples of Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj. So presumably what he's saying was he was the only truly qualified one. Anyway, it's interesting that the difference in style of the way they operated. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was a very active preacher. Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj was more of a renunciate. He didn't involve himself in the world. So one time someone asked this to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, "What is the difference?" And his reply was, "He is like the source of power. You see activity in me, but the source, the energy is coming from him. So one is passive and one is active, but the passive agent is giving the energy to the active agent." Here's a nice little anecdote. And this was spoken by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in 1936, maybe before. That was actually the year he left the planet. It may have been in that time, maybe before. I don't remember the exact date. Anyway, it was at the samadhi of Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati revealed something. He said, "I received 3 instructions from my Guru Maharaj." He said to me, "Do not take any disciples. Do not go to Calcutta. And do not associate with anyone." So now it appeared that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati broke all these instructions. But actually he explained he did not break any of those instructions. He said, "I did not take any disciples. Krishna sent me these disciples. I saw them as my gurus." And he said, "I saw their bhakti and I learnt from their devotion." Because he saw the enthusiasm of his disciples and he learnt from that. "I never took any association because I did not..." Association means to take from someone. "I took no instruction from anyone, only from my Guru Maharaj." So that's the lesson for us all. We may, for example, we distribute... If we're strict and we distribute Prabhupada's books, for example, we're not associating with the people that we meet. We're giving our association. And how did he not go to Calcutta? Well, he established the grand Bagh Bazar temple. But he said, "That is not Calcutta, that's the spiritual world." So he did not go to Calcutta. That was the second temple that he had one prior to that. Now, here's an interesting statement he made. Well, he composed the bhajan at the time of the opening of this grand Bag Bazar temple. So there's one famous sloka. Matala Harijana Vishayarangi Pujala Ragapata Gauravabangi. He says, the mat residents are become intoxicated by enjoying the opulence of things that are offered to Krishna. Pujala Ragapata Gauravabangi. We worship the rag path, the path of spontaneous devotional service, keeping it on our heads. This is a verse. It's a lovely verse. It's cryptic. It's, you know, this Vishayarangi, later on, a disciple of Bhakti Rakshasura Maharaj, Govinda Maharaj, who was the successor of Bhakti Rakshasura Swami, he said, this is a confusing verse, Vishayarangi. It means, it sounds like we're enjoying the senses, sense gratification. That's really what it means, Vishayarangi. But actually it means we're enjoying things that have already been offered to Krishna. So it's not sense gratification. I mean, remember the mat residents, they would, if there was a feast, you know, big anukut, they would have big feasts, they would have they'd drive around in cars. So there was some opulence associated with being in the Gaudiya Mat at that time. At the same time there was a lot of austerity, more so than we can handle. But that opulence, Vishayarangi, that so called sense gratification, it was all spiritualized. Anasaktakta Vishayan Yataham Upayunjataha Nirbanda Krishna Sambandi Yuktam Vairagya Muchati. This was the principle of Yukta Vairagya taught by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, use everything in Krishna's service, which he said was like snake-like activity, because a snake never builds its own home, it just uses someone else's. Anyway, so Govinda Maharaj, he suggested change Vishayarangi to Kirtan Rangi, they're enjoying Kirtan. That was authorized, so there's two versions now. Anyway, the second part of the line is very significant, because what is the purpose of Mahaprabhu's descent? He says, Prema rasa niryasya kariti asvadana raga marg bhakti loki kariti pracharana rasika sheka krishna parama karuna e dui hetu hoiti ichra udgama. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Two reasons for the descent of the Lord. One is to enjoy prema. The other one is to raga marg bhakti loki kariti prachar, to teach raganuga bhakti. So then we have this dilemma, because it's a very high topic. We want to be humble. We don't want to reach to the sky when we're not qualified. But our goal is something very high. So how to reconcile? Should we think about these elevated topics? If we don't, then we're missing the point. If we do, then we're like sahajas. So how to reconcile? Well, it's nicely done in this verse. Pujala Ragapata Gaurava Bhangi. We worship the path, Raganuga Bhakti, keeping it above us. We always see ourselves as below. We aspire for spontaneous devotional service, but we don't pretend that we're on that platform. And if you keep humble, then you can actually access that platform. So that's a lovely teaching of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And unfortunately, as we know the history went, with the opulence came troubling undercurrents, and there was fighting over who got which room, at which point Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he told Abai Charanaravinda, if I could sell the marble and print books, I would do it. He said this because he understood there's a difference between the mission and the properties. And we have to, and this is a very important teaching, and it's very applicable today in ISKCON. My feeling is we have opulent temples now, and we're very able to build temples in all various parts of the world, which is very nice. But then you will notice the mission activities you'll find in these areas, a handful of devotees who are going out distributing the books, doing prasad distribution. They're very oftentimes they have nowhere to stay nicely because they want to dedicate their lives to the mission, but they don't have enough money. So we see like there's a lot of poverty, you know, so to speak. The mission has not been funded enough. That's my feeling. And I'm saying this because I got a sign from Krishna, because yesterday I was thinking I will listen to a lecture by Vaisheshika Prabhu about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And he started quoting a lecture, which you can find in the Vedabase. It's also in Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav. And in this lecture, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says, and this was in 1936, the year he left the planet, he said, "We don't belittle the Pancharatrika process, you know. We don't, it's very important. However, the higher purpose is to propagate the message." And he said, "If necessary, we will suspend temple construction and print pamphlets and distribute pamphlets." I stuck it on Facebook yesterday. I have a friend, Palakar Prabhu. He does a great service for this yatra because he ships for free so many on-chanting leaflets. They're GBC approved, by the way. Bajahari really got us into them, and some people thought, it's not approved, but it's actually GBC approved because it's just Prabhupada's statements. But they're wonderful pamphlets, and you know how many, it's been 500,000 or something has been distributed since the project began. But this pamphlet distribution, I really like this project. So I will try and do my little bit for doing Harinam Sankirtan, and we bring the pamphlets, and we like to do this. Because, you know, we will always be able to construct temples. There's plenty of people prepared to support the construction of temples, which is very nice. But we want people to also support, to a large extent, the distribution of books and pamphlets. Therefore, I personally like Palakar Prabhu, his contribution. He's very philanthropic in the transcendental sense, and he's prepared to ship these anywhere in the world. So you just have to get in touch with him. If you're prepared to distribute them on Harinam, he will distribute them to you because he likes to support that. So that's a wonderful something for us to think about. And it's something that Prabhupada also, he imbibed that mood. He said, "Our main business is worshipping the holy name, not deity worship. Of course, when we have the opportunity, we open up temples." That was the mood. So on that note, we can stop and we have some time for comments and questions, and then we'll do Pushpanjali. Shula Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj Avibhav Mahotsava Ki Jai Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Nitai Gaur Premanandi Arivro. Anyone like to add any comments? There's so much we can talk about. There were so many things I was thinking to say, we have no time to say them.